This is Larry Newman from Big Band Scene. I'm sitting here with Dan Pugach, and we're going to review his latest album, Bianca. And he just happened to bring his wife along, Nicole Zuritis. Both of you will be at the Dakota tonight, and that is going to be a fun performance. Dan, I was having a fun time going to your website. As I'm looking at it, I'm trying to figure out, are you a percussionist composer or a composer percussionist?
I'm a drummer, and that's it.
That's it. But you're composing. I mean, your album is all of your compositions and arrangements, and so you're doing a lot of work.
Yeah.
When did the composing part of what you do come into play?
That came in at a later stage. I went to school for mainly jazz performance.
Okay.
With the goal of just being a working drummer, jazz drummer in the city. That was the dream, you know, to move to the States. Mm-hmm. I grew up around Tel Aviv. I went to all the jazz schools, jazz high schools. I did the route in order to become like a jazz drummer.
Sure.
in New York. And
yeah.
And I never really took any composition or arranging classes along the way.
Did that happen when you came over then?
And it happened. Yeah. It happened later, at a later stage, retroactively, where I was assigned by Mike Holliber, who was my professor at City College, who was an incredible composer, big band arranger and everything. He was kind of my mentor. He assigned us to write a 5-horn chart of whatever tune. And I gave it a chance, and he said, "Oh man, you would be good at this if you knew what you were doing." And so I got into it. And I was always listening to big band, you know, Tad Jones and Mel Lewis and all the classic stuff from Basie to Duke to everything. But I never thought I could actually write and arrange. And then when I moved to New York, long story short, I realized that instead of waiting for a phone call to be a sideman, I'm going to create my own opportunities and start my own little magnet. And so I started calling. We had people come over to our tiny little Brooklyn apartment and started doing reading sessions. And that's pretty much how I learned to arrange, getting input from musicians saying, mm-hmm. "Are you sure you want this at this octave? And you know, do you want soprano and trumpet all the way up here together?"
Like,
do I not? And then I learned how to do it, and I'm still learning from books and from scores and by ear, but mainly by doing it.
Well, it's working for you because this recording, Bianca, is turned out really well. You've got something here that is real special.
Thank you so much. Wow.
Yeah.
We're going to quote you. We're going to chop this.
Yeah, we're going to put that on the website.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's fine. You kind of piqued my interest. You grew up listening to big bands, listening to jazz. Do you have a couple drummers that you were saying, okay, I want to be like this guy?
Or Roy Haynes.
Yeah,
Roy Haynes, that's my biggest influence. So much that when I got to Berkeley, my teachers, you know, Joe Lovano and Terry Lynn said to me, "Okay, that's great, but you got to stop sounding like Roy Haynes. You got to now sound like yourself." And I said, "Why bother if I can sound like Roy Haynes?" I didn't really sound like Roy Haynes, but they heard the influence so heavily that they said, "Okay, that's great. Now you want to, you know, explore different directions and open your playing a little to be more unique to yourself." So,
well, we're always looking for our own voice.
Yeah.
And that's just it. And so you were hearing a lot of different drummers in New York City.
Yeah.
Anybody kind of come to the top of your head who said, "Oh, that was a neat idea, but that's not Roy Haynes, so I should be trying to do something."
Terry Lynn was a big influence, and obviously all the classics, you know, from Philly Joe to all the way to Jacques DeJohnette. But when I got to New York, I got hip to Ari Honig.
Okay.
And his approach to rhythm. And I took lessons with him for 2 years, and he opened up my playing a lot. Gave me a little more freedom around the instrument.
It's coming out well, because what you're doing, at least what I'm hearing with the big band, it fits to the stuff you're writing. But that's okay. That's okay, because it's your voice.
I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's your voice on the drums. You've got a nonet that's working out of New York.
Yes.
And you've also got a big band, it seems. And a couple of the tunes on this recording have morphed from the nonet to the big band.
True.
Do you enjoy expanding them for the big band? Is that something that you think, I just need more tracks to play with the band? Or how do you approach it?
It's funny because one of my other mentors is Alan Ferber.
Oh, yeah.
Who I'm a big, big fan of. He plays also on the big band. And we used to have long phone conversations back in the day when I was starting out. And the consensus was the more, you know, we always nerded out about the difference between writing for an Nonet versus a big band. And the more I wrote for, when I was writing for Nonet, I was trying to have it sound like a big band. Mm-hmm. And then when I started writing for big band, I realized, oh, next Nonet record is going to sound like a Nonet. So like now the two things kind of help define the other. So like the more I write for big band, the more the Nonet sounds like a Nonet and vice versa. So when I write for a Nonet, it kind of goes away from the big band sound and it becomes more about the individuals and the mm-hmm. The reason why I adapted some of the compositions for big band was because these are my favorite tunes that I wrote, and I wanted to give them another smack, you know, like another chance, you know.
Well, no, I understand. Just because of the variety of things you can do with a big band now, as opposed to a smaller group, but each voice is very unique, and that's what makes it so fun.
I love both. I really love both. Both the big band and the Nonet are so unique that that's why I keep both alive. It's not like the Nonet grew into a big band and now graduated from the Nonet. I thought maybe that would happen, like where, okay, now I'm a big boy, you know, big league. No, but I always go back to the Nonet. It's a lot more fun, and it's also fun for the members, where they have more weight on them and more responsibility and more, they're able to express themselves a little more mm-hmm. rather than like sitting in a bigger section.
Right. You know, right. Yeah.
There's weight,
more freedom
on each of the members. Yeah.
We've got Bianca here in front of us and I'm looking through all the tracks and I'm reading all the stuff that you've written about it. And so of course this just bodes a lot of different questions. I'm listening to Tolerance.
Yeah.
And you're talking about multimeters.
Yeah.
But you write multimeter different because it doesn't sound like I'm about to do a dance and fall over.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
No, it's very, very smooth. It's got a flow to it that you usually don't hear in multimeter.
So I started arranging a song for a different vocalist that's a friend of ours. The assignment was just adapted for a big band. And the song was pretty much like Balkan vibe, like in 11/8, mm-hmm. and I never written in 11/8 before. And I'm fluent in 7 and 9 and other meters and 5 and whatever, but 11 was new to me. And I wrote an intro to that tune that was original, and she didn't keep it. She's like, no, just keep whatever was in my song. So I realized it was more of an orchestration gig than an mm-hmm. arrangement gig. So I said, okay, I'll keep that to myself. And then that turned into a tune. So that turned into the theme. That intro turned into the theme. So I wrote that and I stayed in that. I was trying to explore the meter and playing a little bit on either side of it, on different sides of the 11, but mm-hmm. keeping it the 11, the square 11 that I was hearing, which was pretty much a bar of 4/4 and a 3/8. 1, 2, 3, 4, takita. 1, 2, 3, 4, takita. Very simple, very square. But on top of that, the more I played it, I was able to play different groupings of threes in there and flipping the kind of like the weight, where the weight is. And so I explored that, and then I realized, oh, on a different day, I wrote a theme for Nicole on the piano back in Brooklyn, which was in 5. That's divided into 2, like a broken 5 into 2, like dun, 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 dun. And then I realized, oh, that and the main theme are only like 1/8 note away from each other. And so I was able to marry them. And that's how theme 1 and theme 2 came together in this Intolerance.
Well, I have to admit, when I first listened to it, I didn't realize I was listening to a multimeter tune.
Great.
And then, well, it's because
mission accomplished.
Once again, it goes back to the flow.
Yeah.
You've got such a neat flow to it. And so then I read the notes out of the CD and I went, okay, just a minute. And I sat there and started doing the tapping. Oh, there it is. There it is. I grew up where multimeter was very definitely cut and dried, you know, from all of the old Kenton stuff and the Don Ellis things and things, stuff mm-hmm. like that. And it really changed the way we thought about it. But
oh, I appreciate
I like
it.
The approach. Yeah. Okay. So now we got to talk to dogs. Because the title cut, Bianca, is dedicated to one of your dogs who is no longer with us.
Right.
And also, Bella the Bear was dedicated to a dog who is, I'm not sure if the bear is still around.
Do you want to take this, Nicole?
Sure. So Dan and I started fostering pit bulls that were on death row in New York City in 2010.
Okay.
Into 2011. And between the two of us, we've fostered like 14 dogs over the years, and Bianca was the first what they call foster fail, the dog that is supposed to be a foster, but then you end up keeping them. So even though we were in no position to have an animal, you know, in New York City and Brooklyn, she was just so spectacular that we just had to keep her. And she is like the reason I think sometimes that Dan and I stayed together both as partners and musical partners, because she was just such a this beautiful force. And so we've always kind of given back to animal rescue, and that's always been part of our mission, part of our entire life purpose. And so with Bianca Reimagined, that's coming out in August, you know, we're realizing that so much of our relationship has been based around our love for animals and for activism. And so Bianca is this dog that was bigger than us. And so, and she is the reason why we still make music in a way. And Bella the Bear, obviously, is our current, quote unquote, foster, who was so brutally abused that like she was really tricky. So like, tolerance was like us, like her tolerating us and us tolerating her. You know, there's all different ways to like imagine how these animals have affected us. And you know, people don't talk about how hard it is to lose a pet. You know, people, mm-hmm. if you don't have kids, you know, pets are our kids, and they bring us joy. And so we thought it would be a nice way to just pay homage to these incredible animals, in particular pit bulls, which are extremely misunderstood and have a really high kill rate in the United States.
Yeah, they do. The next track on Masa, you're talking about a little bit about your immigration.
I am now an American citizen.
I heard that. Yeah. Congratulations.
Actually, it was called for jury duty, my first one, a couple of days ago.
Okay.
But turns out that it got canceled. So
you came to the U.S.
Something like that, right? 2006.
2006.
Okay. I landed in Boston.
Okay.
Boston.
And that kind of led into one of the tunes. That's the next one here. Your first job was working for a moving company.
Yeah, in New York. I thought, okay, I'm going to graduate Berkeley. I'm going to play in the best ensembles. I'm going to get straight A's. And with that diploma, I'm going to move down to New York and get the best gigs. And that's not how it works.
reality.
Yeah. So I picked up, you know, that's the only skill I have, really, you know, looking back. It was like playing drums and being charming. So
and carrying drums or furniture.
So you know, through people I met, I just got this gig, you know, moving couches and stuff, and
sure.
That was my gig for a few months until my dad found out and said, "This is not why I sent you to Berkeley."
Okay.
So I got a master's degree, and the rest is kind of history. But schlepping, I was doing a lot of schlepping.
Yeah, that's a term we use around here, too.
Yeah, I wasn't even aware of that term until I moved to New York.
There's a Rob McConnell tune called Schlep It Up to Joe.
No way.
Yep.
I'm a fan of Boss Brass.
Yeah, it's on there. Fine.
Which album?
Oh, couldn't even tell you.
He's not the one with Phil Woods.
No.
Okay.
Not that one. But yeah.
I love his stuff, his dentette. And
His
dentette writing is so dense. It's so cool. And so low. He's not afraid to write low, you know. Like we're always taught, like, oh, don't go below this and that.
Yeah.
He writes so low and clustery that and it works.
So we've got Travel. This is one of your tunes, Nicole. And then we've got Dreams, of course, which is the only cover on the the Van Halen thing. You've used Nicole's voice in a couple of other places in a vocalese type thing.
Yeah.
Because she's singing along with the horn lines. Do you have to prod her to sing along, or does she just come out, look at the music, and start singing along, and you say, okay, we'll use that?
Yeah, if she hears it, she'll sing it. And I leave it up to her. I can write stuff for her, but the way we work together is, I think, the most organic. So whatever makes it to the big band or the nonet is usually the stuff that we're comfortable with. We're playing together. It grows out of our collaboration, just like Jolene came out of our collaboration.
Sure.
And all the lines and the songs that we would arrange for our shows with the nonet or the big band are stuff that came out organically, that we connect to.
And speaking of organic, what you were saying before about how you didn't even realize the way Dan writes when it's mixed meter is because we think that music should sound like music, like it flows, not like it's a college assignment.
Like exercise, yeah.
Exercise. And so when we work together, generally we're like, well, is this coming naturally? Like, or am I going to have to spend 45 hours trying to learn an insane line that's not meant for the voice? Or is there a line within the music that I can sing lyrically that sounds like it's coming out naturally? So,
okay.
But usually also, like, the lead lines that I write for the horns are not lead lines that you would think a tenor sax player wrote. Mm-hmm. You know, that sounds like a middle of a solo. You know, I try to write stuff that I can sing, that I can hear and sing. Okay. And so if I can sing it and hear it, then Nicole can definitely sing it. So it's pretty easy to add her to a lead trumpet line. And we're really, both of us are very inspired by Kenny Wheeler's Sweet Time Sweet with Norma Winston. That's a very big influence.
Okay.
So if it's lyrical and singable, then I think everybody wins. The musicians, the vocalists, and it's fun to play and fun to listen to.
Yeah.
And not just like a one-time, you know, presentation of techniques and colors and, you know, and that's it. And then you can't digest it anymore. So
yeah, I was just listening to a couple of the tracks last night. I hear some of the vocalese that you've done on some of the lines. The way it's blended and mixed on the recording, if you're not paying attention, you might miss it.
That's the idea.
That's the idea.
That's the idea, is to not make it about necessarily her. You know, she's not singing.
You know, I'm just one of the members of the band.
She's just blending in, and that's the vibe. And so if she's singing lyrics, yeah, it's about her. So there's always a foreground, background game. And when she's blending with the horns, I want you to know that there's vocals. But I also want you to think, is that vocals or is that flutes? Or clarinet with, you know, what is that? That's what I go for. And so nobody gets offended.
Well, no, it's working. And it's very effective.
Cool.
And then, of course, the last track on the CD, Discourse This, is the last track.
Yeah.
Were you angry? Or what were your feelings when you wrote the lead line?
I was feeling stupid. I was feeling very frustrated. Not unfit. I felt unfit. I felt, okay, I'm this... in this class in the seminar with 20 pretty much people who love talking and hearing themselves talk and analyzing scores and analyzing works by dead composers and making assumptions and making and, you know, drawing graphs and shapes, and they were throwing the word discourse every other sentence, and it said jazz studies on the title, but there was almost no jazz or anything, or performance. So this was my...
Discourse this.
I didn't pick up a lot of the frustration coming through.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be, you know, even tolerance was... It could have some negative connotations, frustration, tolerate, you know, tolerating, you know, going through something you don't want to.
Well, you wrote that during the pandemic, though, during the lockdowns, right?
During the lockdown, during the worst time of our lives. But, you know, only a little bit came out in the music. Because I've heard a lot of pandemic pieces by musicians, and it sounds like a pandemic piece. It sounds like kind of dark. That's, you know, I still try to treat my music as something I want to listen
cheeky.
To.
You're cheeky. With
I'm injecting discourse. A little bit of the attitude, but I'm not turning it to about that. It's not thematic. It's not film scoring.
Okay.
You know, I'm still pure to the music, and I also write for myself to play drums in. I'm running the band, conducting the band, or counting it off, or whatever you call it, from the drum chair. That's how I write it. I write it for me to be able to show up to a gig and count 1, 2, 3, and disappear in the music, and just like not be concerned with conducting and like little turns and.
Well, the Bianca Reimagined, which comes out in August, will have there's three more tracks now.
Yeah, we added three more tracks. Bianca Alternate Take, which has great other solos by Eitan Goffman and Stuart Mack on trumpet.
Yeah.
And then I arranged and co-wrote a song with Nicole. One of them is called The Bridge, mm-hmm. which really speaks to the Rainbow Bridge, which is a metaphor for where dogs go to die when they cross.
Yeah.
Right? So it's funny because it came up recently. We felt that we had to add it to the repertoire because our dog Bella now is dying, and so we need to document that. And mm-hmm. The reason why we kept Bella was not because she was an easy dog. She's actually the worst dog we've ever fostered. And we called her Bella also sarcastically because we thought she was ugly and she looked like a bear, you know. But then we kept her, and we felt that we had to pay a tribute to Bianca, which was the best dog anyone can have. And so I guess this ties everything together. And then the other piece is a piece that Nicole wrote and said, "Babe, you finished this." And so I...
Because the lyric is called Little Fears. And, you know, again, it has to kind of bring you back the shelter pet and the activism and the bringing light to the plight of the pit bull. Like, the lyric has to do with, you know, holding on to hope despite being, you know, in a very bad place. And so I kept saying, please, I just hear this for Big Band. Can you please just write it for Big Band? You know, it's about the dogs, babe. And he's like, I don't know, I don't hear it yet. And so there it is again, the theme of, is it coming organically? Mm-hmm. And then finally, you know, I kept poking him, and he goes sit at the piano, and I'd be like, just don't you hear the boom, boom, all these big parts? And then it just kind of happened, and he wrote it in like 3 days.
I wrote it on the plane. I was flying to Belgium to a cousin's wedding. I have cousins all over.
Moroccan side,
yeah. Anyway, I flew to this wedding, and you know, at the airport and on the plane on the way back, I wrote this chart. And first time I heard it was at the recording session at Bunker, you know, and came out cool.
And then the next project will probably be a joint project that we do together with either the Nonet or the Big Band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, from a personal standpoint, I hope it's the Big Band.
Okay.
I like both groups, but that's where I lean.
Yeah. You live in that space.
In that space, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Dan and Nicole, for taking the time today.
Thank you, Larry, for having us.
I'm looking forward to hearing you tonight.
Yay!
All right.
Great.
You've used Nicole's voice in a couple of other places, in a vocalese type thing.
Yeah.
Because she's singing along with the horn lines.
Yeah, if she hears it, she'll sing it. And okay. I leave it up to her. I can write stuff for her, but the way we work together is, I think, the most organic. So whatever makes it to the Big Band or the Nonet is usually the stuff that we're comfortable with. We're playing together. It grows out of our collaboration, just like Jolene came mm-hmm. out of our collaboration.
Sure.
And all the lines and the songs that we would arrange for our shows with the Nonet or the Big Band are stuff that came out organically that we connect to.
And speaking of organic, what you were saying before about how you didn't even realize the way Dan writes when it's mixed meter is because we think that music should sound like music, like it flows, not like it's a college assignment.
Like exercise, yeah.
Exercise. And so when we work together, generally we're like, well, is this coming naturally? Like, or am I going to have to spend 45 hours trying to learn an insane line that's not meant for the voice? Or is there a line within the music that I can sing lyrically that sounds like it's coming out naturally? So,
and when she's blending with the horns, I want you to know that there's vocals, but I also want you to think, is that vocals or is that flutes? or clarinet with, you know, what is that? That's what I go for. And okay. So nobody gets offended.
Well, no, it's working, and it's very effective.